First off, I just wanted to tell you, I do have a friend in common with you that worked on Falcon Crest. I don't know if you remember him. He played Ben Gioberti, or Gioberti, I can't even say it. He was Brandon Douglas, or he is Brandon Douglas, I just want to say.
Oh, the little guy. He was
a little guy then.
He's not a little guy anymore.
Yeah, now he's probably 40-something, but he was the young kid on the show.
Right, of course.
He was, I think, Rod Taylor's grandson on the show or something like that. I don't know. But anyways, I also wanted to tell you that I was a big fan of the show back then, and you had sent me a letter and a card and a photo, and I have that here all these years later. So that's my fan thing. Get my fan thing out of the way. Cheryl, you were a fan too?
Yes, I watched Falcon Crest, I won't say as a little kid, but you did also as well send me a nice photograph and nice comments, so thank you very much.
You're welcome. I'm a lovely person, I guess.
You are.
Well, it's interesting that we both kept our pictures, Cheryl, because we did that back in the days when we were in college, and that was the thing to do, was to write the stars.
How did you gals just quickly get to know each other?
I met Cheryl at the Paley Center when we saw you guys last year at the Paley Center. We were in line, and we both daringly went out to this thing. We thought it was crazy. You know, I came down from L.A. She flew out, and we were in line, and we had talked a little bit online on a website chat, which I'd never gone to until Castle. And everybody went out for that meeting, an evening with Castle last March. And she called me a few days later. She heard me on the radio and said, let's do a show about Stana Katic, because she's our favorite, actress of Castle. Nova.
Thanks. Thanks, Cheryl. I'm hanging up right now.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Cheryl says, let's do a show. We both have a radio voice. We thought it's a fun way to promote Castle. And I know a bunch of Castle.
I think it's great.
Yeah, and I know people on Castle, and I was on the set Friday. Unfortunately, you were off, and then I went last year, and you were off. And so we try to promote.
It's easy to go when I'm off, believe me.
Yeah, well, and so I have a mailing list that thousands of people get, and we promote the show and bring people to Castle, and the show is very popular now, and we try to promote you guys to, you know, keep the seasons going, and it's become very popular and fun. So that's how we met and started the show, and
that's kind of interesting.
It's a unique way because people are on the go so much they can take us in the car, on a plane, on their iPods or iPhones, and listen to us whenever they can. And then thousands of people listen live. So
why didn't you? I guess we should do this on the air. This conversation. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, really. Okay. Sure. And you are one of our favorite actresses. We don't want to leave you out.
Oh, that's okay. Thanks, girl.
I've read that you live bi-coastal. You live in New York City, and you come out and film in L.A. for Castle. How hard is that to make the transition from one city to another? I mean, do you drive in L.A. and do you drive in New York?
Well, actually, I'm primarily living in Los Angeles. I am originally from New York, so I keep an apartment in New York, and I'm going to give myself a plug now. I'm going back there in June to do a play called Love, Loss, and What I Wore at, I should have the name of the theater, which I don't have in front of me, but be easy enough to find. It's on 43rd Street in New York. And it's a rotating cast, and I'll be going in for the month of June into this play. And it's very charming. I think people would enjoy it if they happen to be in New York. So that's what I'm going to be doing, and I'll be in New York then. And I do not drive in New York because it's too scary.
Yeah.
But I do drive out here because I wouldn't be able to get anywhere if I didn't drive out here.
Well, so you get that information to Ryan? And we'll promote it on the radio while you're in New York, because we have a lot of fans and listeners who do go to theater, and I do too. When I'm in New York, I try to hit a lot of plays. And if you let us know that information and have them send it to us, we can get it out there. The address, phone number, website, how to get tickets.
How good is that?
That is great, and
one does not need a press agent anymore.
Well, there you go. You're missing us. You should have had us long ago, though.
Yeah, so, I guess so.
Which I was going to ask you, what are your summer plans? So that I can get in. What is your summer plans besides the theater? Are you going to travel anywhere?
Well, you know, there's not a lot of time. I'm going to spend some time visiting my mom, who's in Florida, and then I'm going to go to New York, where I have this lovely apartment with my guy, Connell, and spend mainly the month of June there. And then we're back to work in July. So it's a pretty short little hiatus.
Well, also I was going to ask you, do you have any brothers and sisters, and do you have any children?
I don't have any children. I have two cats who are doing very well, thank you. I have an older brother who unfortunately died this past summer. That is a negative note, which was sad, but there you go. That's part of the living.
Right.
And I have a younger sister who lives in Boston and works for WGBH as a vice president of public radio. And
Well, there you go.
And my mom is still around, who's 94. And,
well,
and
that's
part
great.
Of what I based the character of Martha on, her kind of vibrant personality and wanting to stay engaged and in life and not feel marginalized and so on. And aging is a tricky process, so it's very interesting to play this part and to have my mother as a role model.
Well, does she use computers?
No. Kind of like Martha.
A lot of them do.
Yes. But
we really like the whole life coach and you is what you is.
That's my mother's quote. You is who you is, and if you ain't who is you?
I asked
the show if we could throw that in there for my mom, and the whole life coach idea really sort of came from her too, since she would sit on the park bench and give people advice if they happened to sit down next to her.
Well, I read where you see a lot of yourself in your mom.
Oh my God!
So you bring a lot of your mom into Martha.
Well, yes,
correct.
Inadvertently and in a calculated way as well. I am very much like my mother, which is sort of the good news and the bad news for any of us as we observe our parents and you go, oh my God, I do exactly the same thing that drives me crazy about her. So it gives you the opportunity, I suppose, to change those things about yourself that you, if you don't like them in your mother, then probably nobody likes them in you either.
Well, all the fans are calling those classic Martha-isms. Are you enjoying playing the character Martha the longer you play her?
Yes. It's very interesting because, you know, I've done a lot of long running, starting with Another World, a soap opera kind of characters that are on for extended period of time so that the writers get to know you. And I think psychologically they sort of get into your subconscious and your inner life, if you will. And I think they start to write for you and they start to parallel in some ways things that are going on in your own life, which I find quite fascinating. So a lot of the aspects of this character, I find them writing things that parallel things that are going on in my own life, even though I haven't mentioned it to them. So it's a really interesting process.
Well, speaking of the soap operas, what do you think about the cancellation of All My Children and One Life to Live? I was raised on soaps as a little kid, and they just announced that. What do you think is going to happen to soap operas? You think we're going to just lose them all?
I think
eventually.
So. But you know, Desperate Housewives, even Castle, to some degree, these are all have some of the elements of what makes a soap opera work, which are basically family dynamics and how people connect and how people fail to connect and what makes a relationship work, and all those life lessons that are there so abundantly in a soap opera are there even in a show like Castle. And certainly, you know, Desperate Housewives and Grey's Anatomy and so on, they're all just
they were like the Dallas,
Dallas
and Dynasty of their day, you know.
Yeah.
So what is it about being an actress that appealed to you and brought you into acting and you decided somewhere along the way, this is what I'm going to be?
Well, I think when I was a little girl, I come from a family of actors. My aunt was from Ireland, was an Abbey player. This was in, you know, the early part of the 20th century, but she was a well-established Broadway actress. So I think it was in my DNA. However, in my family dynamic, there was just a lot of chaos, and I think sometimes when you can have some structure to your life, as in a play, that it makes you, it gives you a safe place to find yourself and to be yourself, if this is, if you're following this. But I know that I started acting when I was a little kid, putting on little plays in the backyard and doing little monologues for my parents and so on. And then it just became very clear to me. I remember in the second grade the teacher saying, asking everybody wanted to, what they wanted to be when they grew up, and I was the only one who actually knew what I wanted to be in the second grade, which was an actress. So my path has always been very, very clear to me.
Well, that's great. What do you think you would have been if you wouldn't have been an actress?
Oh, good Lord. I think of that. I think of that quite often. I think it probably would have been something in the arts, but I have no idea. I am so kind of myopically into this world. However, I have recently started working with the Screen Actors Guild, which is the union for actors. They have a foundation which helps actors when they're sick or having financial difficulties. It educates them, and it creates an environment where they can connect to each other and do some kind of charity outreach. So being involved with that organization, I have found my connection to children, and I'm now working with the foundation to train actors to go out into the schools and work with kids in underserved schools that don't have dramatic programs, because I know how important it was for me in my upbringing and my finding of myself to have that, the sense of the world of the arts to focus on, and to allow myself to feel, again, in a safe place. So I think now I might have actually been a teacher. I have also teachers in my family. My uncle was a great teacher. And I think actors essentially are teachers. So I think that would have been the path that I would have taken. And it is the path I have taken, but it's a little more fun, I think, secretly.
Now, with this foundation, is that in L.A. or New York or both?
Well, it's in both. It's been in, it's the Screen Actors Guild Foundation, and I'm on their board, so I'm working with them to help other actors.
So if we can get that information from Ryan, we can get that out to people who would, check out the foundation and so forth. So that's something I'll have to follow up with Ryan. Now, speaking of that, I was going to ask you, did you have a mentor or somebody in your life, a teacher, who really has guided you through the ups and downs of acting?
Well, I can't think of one. I went to Hofstra University, which is on Long Island, and I went there on a scholarship, so I feel like they were, you know, sort of my family teachers of mentors, and a place where I sort of blossomed, as you might say. So I can't say that there was one person. I think there are many people along everybody's journey in life who kind of inspire you and help you along. And then, of course, you should start doing the same thing at a certain point for
Great.
Others.
Well, here's an interesting – I've always wanted to ask of this, and I never put it in the interview, so I'm going to get it in for you. What is the most satisfaction do you get of playing a dramatic scene, a comedy scene, or a romantic scene, and which is the hardest to do?
Well, I don't think there's one that's harder than the other. The hardest ones to do are the ones that are not well written. Those are the hardest ones to do, or underwritten, or where there really isn't any psychological truth to the scene. And then you sort of have to try to fill it in for yourself. I like doing comedy, and I like doing drama, and the most fun, and occasionally in the scenes I have on Castle, they combine the two, where it, you know, there's comic overtones, and then there'll be a moment where you see the real, you know, humanity of the character underneath you know the sort of throwaway lines.
Great. Now, I have a question from one of our listeners, and she wants to know, what have you learned from the directors you have worked with? Anything you can bring away that you just think, this director really taught me something for my acting?
Yes, I can. And not only does it teach you about acting, like most good lessons in anything, it teaches you really about life. And it's one word. It's a simple one-word direction. Are you ready?
Yes.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Listen. Really, just listen. I found, you know, I worked yesterday, and I, you know, it was a very small scene, but it was kind of pivotal, a little pivotal scene, and I thought, oh, I really got to nail this, and I went over it and over it and over it, and then when I was doing it, I wasn't there, and I thought, stop, and just listen. It was the scene with Nathan. Just listen to him. Just look at him. He is the person that you're interested in, not you and what you have to say, but him. And I, you know, and it reconnects you to the people that you are with. We get so wrapped up in ourselves, all of us at times, that we forget to sort of stay connected to each moment as it passes along, and the person that's in the moment with you.
That's the key to effective communication, too.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Is there any role you would have turned down based solely on your own personal ethics, regardless of the script or cast?
Hitler's daughter.
Wow! Hitler's daughter, okay.
I know, just the title sort of did me in. Yeah, and I remember turning that down, and it really a lot of money at the time, and I thought, gee, I do have some principles. I just didn't really care for the script, and it was so you know, out there.
Is there anyone in the Castle cast that you'd like to have more scenes with?
Well, Stanya. Or Stanya.
Oh, I'm Stanya.
Name wrong. That's how little I get to work with her. Well, you know, we very rarely, you know, sort of cross-pollinate on this show. You know, she's in that world, the world of the mystery and the investigation, and I'm in his family world, and rarely do the two meet. So it would be fun to work with her. I think she's a wonderful actress.
Well, you've had a few scenes with her. What do you think is Donna's? Now I'm doing it. Susan, you're wearing off on me. What do you think is Donna's strong point as an actress?
Oh, I think her intelligence, her ability to listen, her focus, her preparation. She's a consummate professional. She's just right there. And she doesn't. But she doesn't get so myopic and self-involved and serious that she can't, you know, sort of play with the moment. Though I think she's an excellent actress.
So what do you think Martha really thinks of Kate Beckett?
I think she likes her. You know, I came from a show prior to this called Dharma and Greg, where the mother-in-law was, you know, not so crazy about the daughter, the Jenna Elfman character. So I sort of was thinking at first that she wouldn't like Beckett, that she would be, you know, sort of annoyed that she was giving her son such a hard time. But actually, it's just the opposite. I think she does like her. I think she identifies with her in her own. Martha is a little narcissistic, I have to admit. She feels like, well, this is a woman worthy of him. She's strong like me and smart and attractive and capable and doing her own thing. So I think that she feels that they're that she's good for him, that she's a strong woman, and that's what he needs, a version of his mother.
Well, the age-old question of the Castle fans and viewers out there is, Susan a shipper? Is Martha a shipper? And are you for Castle and Beckett getting together at some point in the series, or to stay just
good
friends?
Now, wait a minute. What's a shipper?
That is a couple. That means ships that go together, like two people.
Oh,
you know.
A shipper.
It's short.
Oh.
It's actually short for relationship.
Oh,
you know, we got to get Susan into the terms and the lingo of Castle, huh?
We call it casket,
which is Castle and Beckett together. So whenever you see the word casket with two T's, everybody's referring to the couple of Castle
or dynamic
and Beckett
duo, or Beckle and yeah. Castle together. But just putting the lingo aside, do you as Susan think they should get together, and do you as Martha think they should get together, or keep as friends, good friends?
I think Susan thinks that the longer they can stay apart in an interesting dance of a relationship, which is, of course, what they're doing, the better for the show. I think it gives the show, you know, interesting places to go. Although I think also, just as an actor-producer looking in objectively, I would say that it could certainly work if they were a married couple, quite honestly. I think that could work, too. Bravo. And as Martha, oh, I think Martha thinks they absolutely should get together.
Yay.
Although I think Martha should think this. Martha should think this through, because where will she live if they get
together?
She'll
live with them. She'll live with them and make them miserable. No.
Well, Martha, there you go.
What would you, Susan Sullivan, like to see? Who would you? I can't even read. Like to see portray Rick Castle's father, if you had a say, and actor-wise, if they bring him
oh.
in next season.
Oh.
Who would you like to see? He wants Christopher Walken or whatever.
Yeah, Christopher Walken. Well, that would be.
I think Robert Wagner and you would be awesome together. Myself, what chemistry! Woo woo.
That would be nice. That would be nice. I don't know him. I tend to think of actors that I have worked with. You know, like David Selby. From
Perfect.
Ooh,
which reminds me, you just went to a Falcon Crest reunion at the Movie
yes.
Center, didn't you?
Yes.
Was David there?
Yes.
I missed it. I wanted to go. That would have been one I would have drove down for, because I love that show. And
you know
and,
what? It was great.
Oh.
It was so wonderful. I don't know, you know, I think if you were a fan of the show, it would have been great. Because, you know, the clips and the people telling their stories and all of that was just, you know, you sort of recapture that time in your life. It wasn't just in the life of the show, but where you were when all those things were going on. Because when you connect with a show like that and a family, it becomes integrated into your whole, you know, evolution as a personality.
Well, yeah, and I think did Billy Moses go and Lorenzo Lamas and
Lorenzo was there. Billy was going to be there, but then he got sidelined with something. He's pretty busy.
And Robert Foxworth.
And Bob Foxworth came. You know, we did a play together a couple of years ago, so we had reconnected.
I saw that.
You saw Honor?
No, but I saw that it was in your bio thing, and then you did one with David Selby, Love Letters,
which we did.
I love to hate Richard Channing, you know.
Yeah.
I was so upset when Maggie married him. I was just devastated. And then I liked him at the end, but then he was so mean. And I loved Jane Wyman's acting, of course, you know, veteran actress. So the whole cast was just a lot of fun. It was even the butler, you know, Charlie and the whole thing.
Yeah,
it was just a great show. And I wish they would play it on, you know, I know they have them on DVDs, but it'd be fun to go back. It's been 20-something years since I've seen it. But getting back to Castle, if Molly Quinn was your real-life granddaughter, what advice would you give her about life in general?
Oh, my God. Molly Quinn, I adore her.
She was just on last week.
I completely adore her. I take advice from her. Are you kidding? You can't give her advice. She's like a wise old soul. She's like 300 years old. You know, I have learned so much from her. And, you know, she would say she's learned things from me, too, but I think she's just being polite. No, we have a very lovely relationship, and I also am crazy about her mom. And I've told this before, but when we did the pilot in New York, and I thought, oh, boy, when she was 15 years old and very precocious and, you know, pretty and sparkly and excited, and I thought, oh, no, a young, pretty actress, so help me. But it was fine. She's rubbed off on me, and now I'm an old perky actress, so it's working out.
What would you like to see from Martha in season 4? Like maybe an opportunity to go outside somewhere? I mean, we see you a few places, but not very many.
She's home now.
You know, I kind of like it in the loft.
Oh, okay.
So I'm happy to be there. And you know, there was a little party last night, and I worked the last scene with Nathan, and I was going to go down to the party that actually Stana was giving, and I got lost going to the party, and I had to finally text them and said, I'm an idiot, I'm lost, I can't find how to get on the freeway, I'm driving around, I'm going home. So
did you guys have fat burgers?
I don't know, because I didn't get there.
Oh, you didn't
I was
get
lost.
There.
I ended up in Echo Park. I don't even know where Echo Park is. I thought I better go home before I'm really lost and run out of gas and am dead on the highway.
Well, when I was on the set, they were going to order fat burgers for something, either the wrap party or they were ordering it for Donna's party or some party they were having on the set. But you did get a cake yesterday. I heard they delivered a fan cake of Castle.
They
maybe
did
you got
deliver a fan cake. I think they ate it before
great.
I got to see it.
Oh,
so
it had pictures of the Castle cast on it.
Yes.
Pictures somehow are painted on. I'm not sure, you know.
I think I didn't see it Sorry, they ate it before
I got
there. Well,
you got lost from the party, so you missed the party. That
I
sounds
missed
like
the
me.
Party.
Nobody told you or how to get there or went with you?
Well, you know, I thought I knew how to get onto the freeway, and where I went to get on, I couldn't get on. So then I went what I thought was, I have a very bad sense of direction, the logical way, and I never could find out how to get on, and I was going I don't know where. So anyway, I missed the party.
Well,
it was I was late for the party anyway because we worked late, so by the time I got there, it would have been over.
I wanted to ask you, what is Martha's biggest flaws and weakness, and what are her best qualities?
Well, you know, like most people, I think it's always good news, bad news, because her larger-than-life kind of narcissistic, generous nature is her best quality, and her larger-than-life narcissistic, bullion, generous nature can also be her worst quality. That's what I think. Sometimes she just gets so wrapped up in herself and what's going on with her that she forgets to do that great director's advice, listen, and really be there. But when it comes right down to the important stuff, she always is there for everybody, I think. So that's what I like best about her.
Okay, I'll ask one last question, and then Pam will do her five quick questions. My last question is, do you have any fun fan stories of when perhaps somebody first met you and what their reaction was? Anything fun?
Well, you know, I've had so many wonderful experiences with people who have watched various shows that I've done. And I remember being in Egypt. I don't know if this is a fun story. It's really kind of sad, but it's rather profound. And I was leaving Egypt, and I was on Falcon Crest at the time, and it was very early in the morning. We were catching a plane, and this man came with his daughter, who was a dwarf, and said, would you please take my daughter back to the United States and help her because I don't think she'll have a very good life here in Egypt. And I was so overwhelmed, as anybody would be. The thought in his mind was that Maggie was such a good woman that she would be able to help and save his daughter. And, of course, I told him that what his daughter needed the most was his love, which, of course, he was filled with. So anyway, that's my most outstanding fan story. But the great joy of fans, of people that watch you on a show year after year, really get to know you, and they greet you as if they know you, because
right.
In essence, they do.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
They know the characters, and they come up to your table in a restaurant or something, which they really don't realize is invasion of privacy, but they're so excited to see you.
Most people actually don't do that.
Don't? Well, that's good.
Well, not to me, they don't. And if they do, they're always very gracious and I actually don't mind it. I think maybe if it was if you were overwhelmed with people. When I went to Spain, I was overwhelmed with people. I had to put disguises on to go to the museum and to be out in public, and that was, you know, my first taste, and fortunately my last taste, of being overwhelmed. And I guess if you become, you know, that big a star, that would be annoying. So it hasn't been annoying for me. It's been lovely, and most people are very, very gracious, and I enjoy talking to them.
Well, that's good to hear in this day and time. You know, you hear so many stories of crazy fan interactions, and it's nice to know that people are being respectful on your private time and stuff.
Oh, I think they definitely are.
Now, I wanted to ask you if there's a real-life person you've ever wanted to play and you haven't yet.
A real-life person. You know, I
you
played
know, like a, you know.
Martha Graham in Martha Graham. No, that's the dancer. The editor of the Washington Post, the publisher of the Washington Post,
Catherine Graham. She passed away recently, right?
I played that in a in a play, Pentagon Papers, and I became very intrigued with her. So I kind of would like to explore her a little bit more. But basically, I'm pretty happy with what I'm doing and the journey that life is sort of providing me.
Well, is there any role you would have turned down I already asked you that. Is there any role
Hitler's daughter.
No, but I mean, is there any role you passed on and later were happy you did besides Hitler's daughter, or was there any role that you passed on and wish you hadn't? Somebody else
took
it.
Not really. I can't. I can't think of any off the top of my head. I think I would know if there was.
Well, our last bit, because, you know, I know time's running out for you, and we're so happy to have you on the show. And, here's my five. I like to do this to kind of get to, it's like getting to know you part. Five quick questions, and you just let me know if it's a one-word answer or whatever. Last book you read?
Cutting for Stone.
Wow. Last movie you saw?
Oh, The Entertainer with Laurence Olivier.
Last song you sang? Even in the shower.
I can't give you anything but love, baby.
Baby.
Current pet peeve?
Cat hair.
Cat hair. You have two cats.
Two long-haired cats. What was I thinking?
What are their names? What are your kitty cats' names?
Derry and Clare for County Kerry and County Clare in Ireland.
So you speak of Ireland. What's your nationality?
Irish and Polish.
Oh, there you go.
And the man in my life, my guy, my husband, my love, his name is Connell, and he's Irish and Polish as well. So we're like two little peas in a pod.
Yeah, and isn't he a psychologist?
Yes, he is.
Right. Does he give you advice when
working on this? Yes,
there
he
you
does.
Go. Hey,
he
it's built
advice.
In.
On everything, and I give him advice on everything.
Good
we
for
drive
you.
Each other crazy.
Last food you ate? That ought to be
a cashew nut about 2 seconds ago.
Oh, you're eating in the middle of our interview.
That's right, but I'm doing it well, am I not?
Yes, I couldn't tell.
Well, we want to thank you for your time because I know you're really busy and we appreciate talking to you. I could go on and on and on. It's like talking to an old friend in a room, you know.
You girls are so charming.
Thank you.
You see, now I'm at an age where I like to be called a girl. There was a point where I want to be a woman.
Of course.
But anyway, you women girls are delightful, and it was lovely talking to you, and I think the show is so lucky, and Stana is so lucky to have the two of you promoting us, and
well,
I thank you for it.
But I wanted to ask you, do you want to plug any charity that you do that you might want everybody to know that you're involved in besides the foundation? Anything out there?
Well, I'm very involved also with LA's Best, which is just particular to LA, but it is an organization that goes into the schools for after school so that, you know, latchkey kids that have no place to go, can go and be mentored after school, can have, classes and be exposed to the arts. This is something I consider very important. So that's a charity that I'm particularly involved with.
Great. Well, hopefully, maybe next year you'll come back and bring Molly, and you both can do a show with us maybe. If that's something you'd like to do next year, we'll check back with you.
Sure.
Otherwise, we are just so pleased you joined us. It's been a real thrill, Susan. I really do enjoy your work, and I'm so glad you said yes to come on.